What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Chris DeSellums. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Welcome back. Bit of deja vu as we had some technical difficulties.
Surprise. I feel like we said that every episode.
But, I'll say it. Good to be back. Episode 40. Just happy to be here. A lot has happened in the NHL since we last recorded.
A lot has happened.
Agency has come and gone.
It's been a while since we recorded. We recorded last Sunday, I believe. So,
yep.
Been a little over a week. But, a lot has happened.
Jam-packed episode.
Yeah. Like we were saying in the last pod, the 1 minute that no one will ever hear.
the lost minute.
The lost minute. Yeah. We kind of had been saying all season this free agency class was not something to really, like, kind of fawn over. It was just kind of something where a lot of guys were just kind of like average guys, shouldn't make a ton of money. A lot of money was given to a lot of guys that shouldn't be making the money they're making now. So
an unbelievable amount, to be honest.
It is what it is there. But I think, like, last year at the end of, like, the free agency, there was like 25 contracts signed at the end of the day, like on free agency day. I think there was 60 or something signed at the end of free agency this year.
Like 230 something like million dollars worth of contracts were signed by the end of the first day. Like, something nuts.
Absolutely. Just mind-boggling numbers. A lot of, like, the Rangers were pretty active. Did the Islanders really do much?
So the Islanders are the only team officially who have not signed a single person, because, well, the way Elliot Friedman put it, or sorry, not Elliot Friedman, Frank Saravelli, the body bagger of the NHL in terms of Seattle Kraken, of course. But the way he put it, which I think is very accurate, was, who are the top two free agents on the market right now? Kyle Palmieri and Casey Cizikas. I wonder where they're going to go. Like, they're obviously coming back to the Islanders, but they just haven't announced it. So the Islanders have done nothing technically, but also something.
Yeah, that's fair. The Rangers made a decent amount of signings on the free agency day, I guess,
when it opened.
They no surprise to anyone that they wanted to be a heavy hitting team. They wanted, you know, a lot more power, a lot more grit, a lot sandpaper finish.
They really didn't
hide it from anyone. In terms of some of the moves they made, I think in total they brought in like four new guys, one guy they brought back. Yeah. So just running through, they brought in
five plus Goudreau. If we kind of want to count Goudreau.
Oh, I forgot about Goudreau. Yeah.
So, he was a bit before, but.
Yeah. So, so he's a part of the team now, and he's not going to provide a ton of offense, but he provides a ton on the defensive end. So I like that signing. I just don't like the years.
Yeah.
And we discussed that last episode. They brought in Tenorti from Boston.
He's a big boy, man. It's like 6'6".
His claim to fame is he just got into a scrap once with Tom Wilson. It's just kind of like, everyone's like, oh, he really beat him up. I wouldn't say he really did a number on Tom Wilson, it wasn't ridiculous. No. They brought him in. So
just, he was good in the playoffs against the Islanders. I will give him that. Like, when he had to step in, he was a pretty, like, he wasn't anything flashy. I mean, he's like 6'6" and like 240. He's not very mobile, but like,
no, he's not very good. Yeah. He's a career AHL guy. He's not very good when,
I think he was a first round pick.
Was he really? Which
is crazy. I think Montreal might have. I'll look it up.
Yeah. So, just know, like, whenever the Islanders play the Rangers or whenever.
22nd overall. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Just never put it together, really. Like, I guess in terms of being like a full-time NHL guy. I mean, he played pro, so can't knock him there. But yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he's been a career AHL guy, so he'll just be a seventh defenseman, you know, when.
I think it's a good spot.
Yeah, when you play the Capitals and Islanders, I think they probably they'll probably go with another defenseman. Like, they'll probably rotate, to be completely honest, with like someone they have in their system that's probably a better seventh defenseman if they're going to roll with seven defensemen in games. I don't feel like they would. They probably are going to keep more forwards on the team on a night-to-night basis than they would defensemen. But they went with Tenorti. I think they signed him to like a 1 or 2 year deal. I think his name's Patrick Nemeth. Yep. I think I'm pronouncing it. Yeah,
correct.
That was what I felt was like one of the best contracts of the day.
It's good value.
Yeah, good value. Good term. I think he's only locked in for like two years or something.
I think it was 3. Yeah.
3 years. Then it was like, I think the number was like 2.5, 2.7. Yeah. So 3 years, 2.5, you know, a lot of people on like Avalanche, like Instagram accounts and stuff, and Twitter were
the comments ripped it apart.
Yeah. They were like, oh, thank God he's off the team. He blew the series for us and all that shit. And it was just like, he's not a bad defenseman. He can pretty much hold his own. He's going to, I think, slot in pretty well as a third pair defenseman.
Go play 15 minutes and just get off the ice and just shut it down. Like, that's all you need.
That's pretty much. And the other thing that I didn't know is that he is Swedish. So that's going to help Nils Lundqvist transition into the NHL a lot.
Patrick he's Nemeth probably just, did not expect that.
Yeah. So, you know, they're going to be that third pair. So you're getting that offense and the defense there. But just going back to all the Avalanche fans freaking out that, you know, he's off their team now. I'm like, and we had texted about it the day of or the day before.
Yeah.
You know, let's also just not pretend like the Avalanche didn't crumble when they played Vegas.
Bro, I mean, you lost in
5. It's like after game one, Nathan MacKinnon was nowhere to be seen. Ryan Graves took some bad penalties. You know what? Vegas just exposed that Colorado is a young team, and that's pretty much all that happened. You know, they just got outworked. Yeah. So I wouldn't say throw it all, put all the blame on one guy. It's like, yeah, Nemeth didn't have a great playoff series like that series, but that's a little crazy to just put it all on one guy. It was not like he was out on the ice every single goal. I mean, like, sure, you could probably break it down and he was probably on the ice for some bad goals, but to say he was the sole reason why they lost that series, I'm like, let's be honest here. You had a guy who didn't play, you know, 8 games, you know, that might be a reason why he lost. Like, Nazem Kadri didn't play past game 2 of the first round. Yeah. So, like,
classic Nazem.
So
I think Nemeth's been good everywhere he's went. He went to Dallas. He started in Dallas, I think. He might have had a stint in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure, but he went to Detroit for sure.
He was in Detroit for a while before Colorado. He got traded to.
And everywhere he's been just a solid guy. He's never going to blow you away. And I think the things about guys like Patrick Nemeth are that he never does anything like spectacular, like a spectacular goal.
He just does what he needs to do.
Yeah, but when he is noticeable is when something really bad happens. So you kind of notice all the bad stuff he does, but never the small, subtle good stuff as like a casual fan. So I think he's gonna be a good little fit there.
Yeah, that's kind of how it always is. You never like just average guys or just like slightly above average. You never notice, like, the garbage little things they do. But like when they fuck up, you're like, oh my god! It's like, all right, relax. Yeah. So the Rangers also brought in this kid Dryden Hunt from, I believe, Arizona.
He bounced around a little bit. He was in Florida. Yeah,
he's still young. He's probably going to be like a third or fourth line guy. Yeah, he's
slot him in for an injury.
Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't have a ton of NHL games under his belt, but he's kind of one of those guys that, you know, if he can break in New York and kind of start to hit that ceiling that he has, you know, he's probably a great middle six guy. Nothing else to really report there. I think
he can play all three positions too. I might be wrong on that, so maybe somebody can educate me, but I'm pretty sure he's pretty versatile like that. So that's always a good asset to have.
Yeah, for sure. So like that signing was just kind of like a who, what, like I never really heard of him, but I wasn't upset with it. And
shout out to our buddy Josh Morales. He's a big Dryden Hunt fan. Just wanted to throw that out there once he listens. All right. Good for that.
Glad Josh supports the cause. And, you know, best signing of the day was the Rangers brought back the kegger, Greg McKegg. The
what leg. A big name.
Greg McKegg, the leg, is back. Depth guy. He'll be an AHL guy or
top tier name. We'll have to see.
I really don't know what his role on this team will be. And I don't think we'll know what a lot of these guys, a lot of the new guys and a lot of just the guys on the Rangers, I really don't know what their roles are going
to
be.
Yeah, tough to tell. There's so many wingers and so many forwards.
There's a lot of moving pieces. And I think with a lot of like the Eichel stuff being still kind of up in the air.
Yeah, which we'll get to, of course.
We will definitely get to that because that is like the talk of the town still. I feel like that's been like the talk of the town.
It's crazy.
For months at this point. But, So, yeah, that was that. And then
my one thing about Greg McKegg, actually, before we move on is the one anecdote I have about him is when the Islanders got swept by Carolina in 2019, I think it was like game three or game four where they lost. Like, they obviously lost both games because they got swept, but Greg McKegg scored like a goal. He might have had two, and that was the moment I kind of knew, like, oh, like the Islanders are just toast. Like, if Greg McKegg is scoring on us, like, that's when we're toast. But that's the one thing I remember about Greg McKegg is the fact that he just somehow dominated the Islanders that series and scored a few goals. So good old depth forward. Good for the Rangers for bringing him back. Where was he last year? I don't even know.
Boston.
Oh, okay. That
so you're saying sense. He was on Carolina 18-19 because he was on the Rangers, I think, 19-20. Yeah.
And then 2021, he was on Boston. Now he's back with the Rangers.
I thought he was in the Rangers for 2 years.
I specifically remember he was on Carolina. So maybe I'm wrong. I'll go look it up. But
yeah, because I thought he was on that team for 2 years. I could be
Greg McKegg.
Mistaken myself, though.
He was, yeah, it was only 1 year. So this is
this
is his second stint, man. He's bounced around Toronto, Florida, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Rangers, Boston Rangers. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's just kind of like a journeyman. That's kind of like his thing.
That's so, okay, though.
Yeah, and then a couple days, and then a couple days later, the Rangers traded late night trade. I think that trade came in at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. The Ryan Reeves trade, and at first I was just like, God fucking damn it. Like, why?
I think most people probably were.
Yeah.
I was relishing the opportunity to make fun of it, quite frankly. So,
yeah, I didn't really get it at first. And then, like, I slept on it for a little bit. And I just kind of like came to the conclusion that I think I would have been more okay with the trade if they just did Howden and the third for, you know, Reeves and a fourth.
Like, would have made more sense.
I would have been able to swallow that a little bit better. I just been like, all right, whatever. And then I think the thing I texted you was, okay, hopefully it's just a 1 year thing and they just part ways and I could deal with it for a year.
Incorrect.
But Chris Drury, the dummy he is, why would you sign a guy who's 34 that is not going to provide much offense?
Plays a rough style.
He's going to take a ton of penalties. He's going to just be – he's taking up a spot on the fourth line for a young kid. And
he's big and mean. That's why.
Before he even played a single game, he already got a one-year extension. So that to me is just – that was just a major red flag. Chris Drury, for the love of God, man, I mean – If this was what everyone else wanted, Pittsburgh and Florida, I would have said, fucking send his ass there immediately.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like,
it hasn't been a great start.
And I can't entirely blame him. Like, he is 100% a puppet right now. I don't think he has as much control as he thinks he does.
Or
I think Glenn Sather
Gordon had per se. I think Gordon had more say in what happened on the day to day trades and signings. I mean, this is all speculation, of course, but it does seem like that Drury rookie GM, he has Sather above him. It does seem very Sather esque some of these moves, which is, I think, the point you're getting at.
Thing. Yeah, it's very Sather esque, and I think, like, since Gordon had a ton of experience from Boston, had a ton of experience as the assistant GM with New York, then got that, you know, promotion, Sather kind of took a step back.
Yeah,
because he had mentored. And then he took another step back. Yeah, so it was just kind of like, that was Sather's guy. I guess because Drury is a rookie, Sather is way more hands on, and I think because Sather is Dolan's right-hand guy too, it's coming from the top, and Sather's like, I'm not pissing him off. And Drury's like, oh, well, I guess I can't. It's like, all right. So that's where I think a lot of these moves are coming from. So it's going to be interesting, maybe like 2-3 years down the line, when I think that's maybe when we'll see the Chris Drury a lot
I
of
think
teams
so too.
Envisioned seeing.
Yeah.
I just think James Dolan wants to see Tom Wilson's head get bashed in for a few years, and then eventually, you know, for me, a lot of the moves the Rangers are making, and I don't know if I texted you this, these are not moves – like, you can't make a statement saying, we want to win now, the rebuild's over, we're putting it in overdrive now, like, we need to win. These moves are not the moves that scream, we want to win now. These are fine moves to make, like Tampa does and St. Louis did, when you're at the trade deadline and you need that little extra push, or you think this guy's going to be that little extra push. You don't bring these guys in during free agency. And I think everyone and their mother knows that, but it's just not gotten through to James Dolan's head yet, or not gotten through to James Dolan's head yet. So it'll be interesting.
He's I think a fan a lot favorite, of, though, to be fair. Reeves, everywhere he's went with Pittsburgh, Vegas, that's
the thing. St. Louis. I'm going to love him. Like, that's the thing. I was angry because I was like, God damn it, we brought in another guy who's not going to be able to play that well. He's just a physical guy. And I that's the thing. He is a fan favorite. He's dropped a couple of videos of like, New York, what's up? Yeah. Talk to me and stuff. And I'm just like, God,
he's a likable guy.
I'm already like on your side. Plus, another thing is that he started and opened this big brewery out in Vegas. So now that he's going to be in New York for the next 2 years, you have to imagine he's going to bring the brewery there. So
I think so.
Potentially get a spot. Or yeah, exactly. So
you know,
that's that might be a positive to come out of the Ryan Reeves thing, on top of you know, him beating up Tom Wilson. And I don't think we mentioned this, or maybe we did. The schedule dropped. Game one of this year is Rangers and the Capitals in DC a week after.
I wonder
my
where
birthday.
You'll be.
You bet your sweet ass I will be at that game, screaming my head off. Ryan Reeves destroys Tom Wilson. I will fight people in the stands. I'll do it. I'll put the GoPro on my head. I'll just scream the whole time, from Broadway to Belmont, from Broadway to Belmont, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Google, Stitcher, wherever you can listen
Swing
to podcasts.
99.
And they're going to be like, screw you. And I'm like, no, screw Tom Wilson. And that's how that's going to happen.
That would be kind of electric. But yeah, I think Reeves
that's
be
the
a
content we need.
Oh, 100%.
But me yeah, I fighting think Capitals fans as Reeves is fucking pummeling Tom Wilson.
Oh, my God. I think it'll definitely happen. I think it'll get him a lot of street cred. I mean, like we said, he's a likable guy. I think the thing for me was that you kind of look at the context of it, which is it's a stupid thing to do, I think, because they're two different trades. But I wouldn't like the fact, which I think was the Rangers fans' opinion at the time, that you trade Buchnevich for a fourth liner and a second, and then you trade a third for Reeves. It just seems like why was the selling price on Buchnevich so low when Reeves was so high?
Yeah, that is I think the biggest stain
that was my gripe.
Drury's tenure right now. Yeah, and no, that Ryan Reeves trade just kind of highlights how fucking bad the Rangers are and Chris Drury is at asset management. Like, you couldn't get a first for I mean Ristolainen got a first, for God's sake. I mean, like, you couldn't get – like, I would have been fine with the fourth liner, but it's just like, God damn, like, you couldn't even get a first for him. It's like
– the value is just
the
all
best deal.
Out of whack.
Like, yeah, so Booch also signed. St. Louis just had a field day with Rangers fans for like a week and a half, just like – just brutally just bullying us. It was bad.
You'll have to see it. They also signed former future Ranger Jordan Kyrou from the Chris Kreider trade, but –
oh my God.
But yeah, I think Reeves, though, it's just a weird situation because he's one of those guys that's like, he's really like, he does his job well, I guess, but he's like not that good, but he's going to be so loved in the Rangers fans. So I think it's going to take some time to see how he plays. But I think the first time he fights Tom Wilson, and this guy hates Tom Wilson. There's pictures of videos.
Like the big quote that came from like the offseason, was everyone, you know, Ryan Reeves just came out and said, like, they didn't name the team or who he said it to, but he's quoted saying, I'm the solution to your Tom Wilson problem. And as soon as he got traded, everyone's like, oh, well, I guess we know who he said he's the Tom Wilson solution to.
Yeah.
It was pretty much as clear as day at that point.
It's just, it's incredible.
I mean, even at the time, you were just kind of like, oh, I wonder who he's talking to. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Gerard Gallant's the coach of the New York Rangers, and Tom Wilson destroyed the franchise in the rebuild. Boom. I wonder where he's going.
Wonder. Yeah, exactly. It was just like, it made too much sense. And it is really just still crazy how much the Rangers are compensating for the Islanders and Capitals. I mean, it makes sense because the way the league is right now, but it is kind of still nuts to see. And I don't say that in like a way to like make fun of them, but it's just crazy.
It's crazy to me too, because it's like we played those three games. I think it was the Islanders, and then the Capitals. Because yeah, that's the Capitals game was the Islanders games were like the catalyst to what happened in DC or at the Garden, because everyone was hurt. Kreider was hurt. Truba was hurt. Lindgren was hurt. So it was like all these the big guys on the team were all hurt. James Dolan just watched those three games and saw that we were just weak. And people are like, oh, no, they were weak when they played Carolina in the qualifying round the year before. And I'm like, they weren't weak. They just got out-muscled a little bit and then just decided they needed
Carolina
to just out-
just ran over you guys.
Yeah, no, like they played a much better game. They were skilled and tough. The Rangers had a ton of skill and just threw all their skill out the window and just said, we're just going to start throwing bodies. And that's why they lost. I mean, they got outclassed. Tony D'Angelo getting undressed. We'll get to that later too. Is
foreshadowing.
That didn't really help. But I just don't think they were ready at that point either. But it's annoying as a fan to see the moves the Rangers make, and that Dolan has so much control over everything because he saw three games when it was like. The Rangers gave the Islanders good games throughout the whole season. I think they had a winning record against the Caps pretty much this whole last season. Like I think it was either they're 500 or they might have went 5-3 out of the eight games. I know we had the Capitals number for a long time. Like I think we were at one point we couldn't lose against them. So it's just very annoying to see like what's going on because one team and one player just kind of fucked with
incredible
one guy.
Rent free. Honestly, that's a definition of rent free right there.
Tom Wilson. Yeah. He's lives in James Dolan's head. Like he has the penthouse suite, right next to the garden. It's bad. Like, and I tweeted it. I'm like, at a certain point we just have to move on. I'm like, I moved on maybe 2 weeks after the thing happened. I was just like, all right, whatever. Like just whatever it happened. Like we just got to move on. I was more annoyed about how the NHL handled it more than the actual event itself.
This is what Wilson is paid to do though, which is the incredible thing. Cause he's paid to piss teams off and get in their skin and get in their head and get under their skin, whatever you want to say. And it just worked. I mean, he's a good player. He can score, but like, that's his role to just be a total jerk out there while contributing some points. And it just worked to a T, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be very, very, very fun first game of the season, and I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Yeah, take the over-under on fights, the over on fights that game. And and also just looking at it, I think the NHL, they kind of let this happen. And if Tom Wilson gets really hurt this year because against the Rangers, because they're just fighting him or targeting him, you can't blame anyone but the NHL at this point. Because they let this happen. So it'll be definitely interesting to see. We've been talking about the Rangers free agency for a minute now. That's pretty much all the moves the Rangers made free agency.
Then we can move on.
Yeah, so I was going to move on. Yeah, so that was the next topic was some of the extensions. So Filip Hedl got an extension. He got a two-year bridge. I was really happy about that. So what was interesting about that is they announced that he got extended for 2 years. And then, like, I don't know why. The Rangers have been putting stuff out. They're like, oh, here are the full terms. And then, like, you read the whole thing, and there's just the term. There was no money attached to it. So that was an immediate red flag for everyone. Like, is he getting traded? Like, why wouldn't you announce the money? But then the money came out. I don't remember the number off the top of my head.
Two,
I think it's –
two something.
Yeah, I was going to say it's around, like, $2 million or something.
Probably mid-twos, I think.
Yeah, so good deal, good value. People forget, like me, he's only 21. He's younger
than us.
Yeah, he's still I'm almost 4 full years older than him.
That's a scary thought. That's why I never buy, like, it's tough to buy the shirts of the young kids now. It's like, man, they're younger than me. Like, I just don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, it's tough, but I'm happy with the extension, and where this team is right now with like their center depth and stuff. Like I texted you about it. I'm fine with the center depth at this point.
I heard some rumors that, not to cut you off, but just talking about center depth, that people are just starting to speculate very heavily that a Ryan Strom for Riley Smith trade in Vegas could be brewing, which would honestly, I don't know how much sense it would make for the Rangers. It'd make a lot of sense for Vegas, but he is a Gallant guy. He played his best career hockey under Gallant. So I thought that was very interesting.
I did see that too. It's tough because there's got to – like, if that trade happens, the Rangers need to get a little bit more back than just one for one. Because you're trading away a guy. Strome is 2 years younger. They both only have 1 year left. And I guess I think Strome might be making a little bit more
money. I think he's making like 5.7, 5.5. He's making a lot of money.
Yeah. So, I mean, like if they're making the same money and you're trading for a guy 2 years older, you got to attach a pick to it or something.
Recoup that third round pick perhaps. That would be very ironic, actually. I don't think it's going to happen just because, like, why would they make three separate trades? But, I mean, I guess stranger things have happened. But
yeah,
it was definitely interesting.
And the thing with Smith was, like, he played well with Gallant in Florida, played well with Gallant in Vegas and stuff.
I think that's the catalyst, probably.
Yeah, Gallant, I think, it definitely is the reason why he plays so well. Like my cousin who watches a ton of Knights games because he's a fan of the Knights because he lives out there. You know, Smith was like one of his favorite players, but like said, he's kind of fallen out of grace in terms of like his fandom just because like he fell off when Gallant got fired. So it's kind of it makes sense. So I think there's probably better trades out there for Ryan Strome. I think you could probably get better value elsewhere. And if Chris Drury makes that trade, it's another, you know, strike against Chris Drury making a bad move. So it's that would be, I think, something I would be a little worried about if that's the trade they're going to make, especially with all this Eichel news that we'll get to. I think that's like the move the Rangers need to make at this point because his value is in the toilet bowl. But we'll get there.
Oh yes.
So, yeah, Hedl gets extended. And then the other person that we were looking to extend and we're just kind of waiting for this to be announced is
Igor. Almost done. Yeah.
Yeah, Igor. I think they're just kind of trying to figure out money. I think it's gonna be 6 years or 5 years. I think it's 5 years. And I think anywhere between like 5.5 and 6 million. And a lot of fans were starting to freak out. They're like, that's such a small sample size. How can you be paying this guy? How can you lock this guy up for 5 years and he doesn't have a ton of NHL experience? It's like, are we just gonna throw away the KHL experience, the AHL experience? You could track like his save percentages and all his advanced statistics back to when he was 16. That's 9 years of just stats you could look at. It's like how much more of a sample size do you need? Like the guy's legit. I think, you know, if he could stay healthy,
he could keep being legit.
That's the biggest thing.
The injuries are definitely gonna cause some sort of problems, I think, down the road.
But it's like I really can't, like, the two major injuries he had, he got into a car accident, which is like a freak accident. That wasn't hockey induced, and he was only playing for like 10 or something games and looked really good. And then I think his second injury was like that, like the calf or something, and I think he just like strained it really bad or something. So it's nothing that concerns me to a point where I'm like, oh man, like he's injury prone. I think they're just two kind of weird injuries. And I think if he could just, stay healthy, I think that he puts up the numbers that he's been putting up in the KHL and when he was in the AHL. So, the number's fine. 6 million for a goalie, that's not bad at all.
Could be worse.
Are we freaking out over that? Yeah. Carey Price makes like what, like 9, 10?
10.5.
yeah. Carey Price makes 10.5, and you're going to freak out about 6? Shut up.
Seems standard, yeah. You have, like, Leonard, I think, is at 6. Fleury's at 7. Sorokin probably comes in at, like, 3.5. So it's pretty standard.
Henrik was making 8, and they had to buy his ass out. It's like when will we learn that you can't pay goalies $8, $9, $10 million when they're deep down the line? It's like, yeah, sure, he'll make $6 million now, and if he does really well – and when this 5-year deal is up, yeah, sure, he might be looking for a pay raise. But at that point, you have to maybe decide, like, we can bump you to 8 max. Like,
yeah.
But we're going to shorten the term. But some it also, major, I guess, depends with,
some
like –
major cap hell coming for the New York Rangers.
Well, give or take.
It depends if they get Eichel. I think that's the thing. If they get Eichel, then they're in some trouble, I think. But we'll see.
Well, yeah, and I texted you about it and just kind of, like, diving into Eichel a little earlier. I think like the one thing, if the Rangers trade Eichel, I think that's the nail in the coffin for Mika's bandage out. I think this is the last we'll see of him this year, which will be a shame because I really like Mika. But I think if you trade Eichel, it only makes sense to you have to get rid of Mika.
Well, because
at 29, it's tough to say we're going to sign you to a 6 or 7 year deal making $9.5 million. Eichel, who is 4 or 5 years younger than him. I think he's 4 years younger than him and makes 10. It's like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables, but I could definitely see them getting into some major trouble down the line because I think we'll get to it later. But Adam Fox is in line for a massive payday, and we can all thank Seth Jones for that one. But we'll get to that later. We'll keep it on
Seth Jones, Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, all those guys just getting crazy paydays. But we'll keep it on the Igor Shesterkin talk. I think that's a pretty fair contract. It seems like it's just trending that way. The sides will get it done, so I think it'll be all
the
good
fact
there.
That he didn't, the Rangers didn't, or he didn't elect to go to arbitration was a very good sign. I was very happy with that, especially with like the Booch trade and everything, and just kind of hearing the quotes of like him and Panarin being super upset and stuff. Like I thought he would just kind of be like, you know what, like I'm pissed, so we're going down. So I'm really happy with that, and but yeah, the Islanders have a couple guys going to arbitration, or at least the
just
big piece.
One, the biggest one of all, the one I did not want to see on that list is Adam Pellick, unfortunately. And I think it's just concerning because I think you basically alluded to it. It's just that arbitration can get very ugly if it comes down to it. I know that last year, 30 players filed and 29 got solved before arbitration went down. I forget who was the player that went into arbitration. I wish I could tell you so I could figure out.
I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Like what he's doing now. But if there's one GM I don't want to go into arbitration with in terms of being a tough cookie to go up against, it's Lou Lamoriello, quite frankly. Just because, like, he's all about the logo on the front rather than the name on the back. And I can see him just like, yeah, like Adam Pellick, like you're one of the best defensemen in the league, but like you're, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. Like you suck. Like you take this contract. I could just see it like getting super ugly. Obviously not those terms. Lou Lamoriello is just a very well-spoken and he just has his ducks in a row, as we will find out, as the Islanders have kept everything extremely quiet. But I am certainly concerned that the Pellick deal is kind of holding everything up, I think. So until that arbitration hearing is done, which honestly could be another 30 days, if it gets to that, we're not going to hear anything from the Islanders because he's holding his cards very close to his chest based on Pellick. And it was definitely disconcerting to hear him go into arbitration just because he's the best defenseman on the team by far. Not by far. Pulak's pretty close up there, but he's the best defenseman. He's one of the best in the league, and you just don't want to see this relationship get ugly because arbitration awards are 1 or 2 years. So all of a sudden, Pellick is, I don't know if he'd become a UFA. I think he might. So you get this
just, yeah. If it's a 1 year, I think you still retain rights.
Okay.
It's two. After 26, yeah, he'd be UFA.
Yeah, that's not good because like you roast this guy, and then now he's UFA, and he can make money on the market. Like, that's the last thing you want. But did you find out who was the guy that got to – yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so it was Tyler Bertuzzi. Maybe the only one.
And he just resigned again in Detroit, but, like, that relationship's been busted. He was on the trade block this whole year, and he's a good little player. So
yeah, his previous AAV was 2 years at 1.4. Arbitration verdict honored by team, it was 1 year, 3.5.
That relationship's kind of broken, though. Like, that's the thing. The one guy that makes it – it just doesn't end well. So I'm really hoping they can hammer it out at like, I'm assuming Pellick's coming in at like 7 right now, and the Islanders probably coming at like 4.55. So I'm hoping they just say, hey, they'll do 6 by 5.5, 6 by 6 maybe, and we'll call it a day. So it's definitely
And I think just like looking at it, like a guy like Pellick, like do you think he's better than Ryan Pulak?
I think Pulak has the chance to be better for sure, but I think right now Pellick is the most valuable player on the Islanders.
Because last year,
Pulak
signed 2 years, $5 million.
That's true.
Josh Hosang, 1 year at $700,000. I think those are the only Islanders. D'Angelo was 2 years at 4.8. Georgiev was 2 at 2.4, 2.5. Brendan Lemieux, 2 years, 1.55. So, yeah, I think I think, you know, Pellick kind of has an understanding, or he values himself a little higher.
Yeah.
You have to assume.
At least a little bit. I don't think he's too crazy about Pulak. I think 5.5 would be a fair compromise because Pellick has a large injury history. Also, people forget he ruptured his Achilles, I believe, when he was playing soccer pregame 1 year. He broke his wrists in the playoffs, and there was a very undisclosed injury. His rookie season, he got hit by a skate in his face, and I think they were checking that out, and he had some weird, undisclosed, potentially career-ending injury that nothing ever came about, and nobody knows what happened. But so he's got that long injury history. It's just really tough to say. I really hope this doesn't go to arbitration.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Yeah, but
yeah, it gets ugly. That's what pretty much everyone says. Problem. It just gets very ugly very quick.
It's not the player you really want to piss off because, I mean, say Adam Pellick walks in 2 years after arbitration or like asks for a trade after a year, like all of a sudden your left side is nobody. You already have nobody because the Islanders still haven't signed a left-handed defenseman. Pellick would leave, perhaps. I don't think he's going to. I think they'll come to an agreement because it's best for the team and the player. But Pellick leaves. You have no left-handed defenseman replacing Letty. And then you have Andy Green. Like, then you're in some major, major, major trouble. So we'll see what happens. But kind of on that topic, the Islanders don't have a left-handed defenseman. And everybody's gone off the board. Ryan Suter went to Dallas. Kind of expect that to happen after a couple of days. So that's okay. The last domino to kind of fall was Ryan Murray. Went to Colorado on a 1-year, $2 million deal. And Arthur Staple had posted an article on The Athletic today saying that it's interesting that Ryan Murray took so long to make his decision after everybody got snatched up so quickly because probably means the Islanders were in heavy on him. So they're clearly looking, and I think they were definitely in on him, but he chose Colorado. He chose his chance to go for a cup, even though the Islanders are obviously contenders as well. But the options are definitely – they're dry on free agency. There's nobody left. Basically, I don't even think there's a single option you can go for that would be beneficial for this team. And the most likely option, which would be a very ironic twist of fate, I think, would be because if you listen to this podcast for a while, you know we talked about him for a long time, is Vince Dunn. Because it seems like he doesn't fit in Seattle and they want to move him. And I think he'd be a very interesting option for the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy I've liked for a while. Yeah,
it would be ironic for sure.
Yeah, that would be kind of like a kick in the nuts to me. you know, guy eventually comes to New York, wrong team. So, you know, yeah, I he's think yeah, player. Yeah, he is pretty good. I think it was this year you brought it up that like he did have that like one thing.
Yeah,
like, there was some like
he said something racist on Twitch. Yeah. I don't think anything came about that, which is kind of strange, to be honest.
Yeah, you would mention it, and then, like nothing ever came about it.
It got very blown under the rug, so.
Typical NHL. It's like, you know, when something big needs to be brought up, it doesn't. But, you know, they're just so weird with, like, handling stuff. Like, the Evander Kane stuff, I think, like, they're going way overboard for. It's like, they're like, we're launching sounds a more full of a- on- investigation
than an NHL problem, but
yeah, it's like just look into it and then, you know, come to the conclusion. But it's like, you know, you have a team out here that hired someone and then not only hired them but gave them a recommendation, you know, in an organization, and there was like sexual misconduct and stuff, and you did nothing about it. You're just like, oh, that happened, okay, original 16, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Vince Dunn definitely comes with some baggage, but I think he's the best option because, as you were saying, man, I kind of pulled up the list of available free agents. You have Jason Demers. He's right-handed. I'm not touching Eric Branson or Eric Gustafson with a 10-foot pole. Steven Johns, retired. Sammy Vatanen, right-handed. Carl Gunnarsson, retired. Braden Coburn, no. Jack Johnson, I don't think he's going to play in the NHL again after his injury. You have maybe, honestly, the best option, quite
that
frankly.
That would be hilarious.
Oh, my God. It's just not going to.
After everything
no
I've been in, after everything I've gone through the last, like, week and a half, that would be the scales kind of returning back to, you know, just being equal again. That would be just the icing on the cake for me. I think that would be very funny. But I would enjoy that thoroughly.
Barry Trotz enters the chat and he becomes back to his Columbus self. That's what I'll hope for. But I
think if that were to happen, Jesus, man.
Could you imagine? But I think the best option, they looked at him in the trade deadline, like Ben Hutton or like Zdeno Chara. Like the well has dried up and it's very concerning. And it's kind of just very stupidly annoying because, you know, it's the perfect option now that we have so much money. Devon Taves. Like, God damn it. It's so annoying. It's like, oh, it's really just such a pain and such a shame that they had to trade Devon Taves because he's literally like the perfect – like all of our problems are solved right now. If the stupid coronavirus didn't happen, then the Islanders get to trade Andrew out a year earlier and we still have Devon Taves. It's just a joke. But that's kind of the big thing coming up for the Islanders. They have to find a left-hand defenseman, and we'll see what happens with Pellick. But I mean, a couple other things on the back burner. Ilya Sorokin needs a new deal. He's an RFA. Oh. I hope you all can hear that on the podcast with the lovely residents of DC.
my neighborhood's been active recently. So just to let everyone know, I live right by the National Stadium. If you've been watching the news, there was a shooting there a couple weeks ago. I luckily wasn't in the neighborhood. I was back in Jersey that weekend for my grandma's 80th birthday.
I didn't even think about that when that happened. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was not there. Yep, there we go again. So, so I wasn't here for the shooting. And then the other night I was in the shower, my girlfriend's at our desk just doing work. And, I get out of the shower and everything, and there's just like blue and red lights flashing out on the street. I'm like, what's going on out there? And, thank you. My girlfriend just brought me my calendar. Thank God. Thank you.
You don't have to run again.
Thank Christ. But yeah, so there was like a bunch of blue and red lights flashing out there. I'm like, what's going on? And stuff's like, I don't know. Go check. So I go look. There's like 9 cop cars outside my apartment.
Love that for you.
And she's like, was there someone that got shot? Because it sounded like there was a big gunshot or something. And I think, I don't know for sure because I was in the shower and she wasn't paying attention. I think there was a drunk driver on my street that hit someone head on. But like it was a taxi he hit on head on, but it was like one of like the Ford Explorers, like a cop car. Like that was the type of taxi it was. And it had like the bars out front. I think it was an old cop car. They just turned into a taxi and he fucking totaled the guy who hit him totaled his car, but they were outside my apartment for like 3 hours, just lights flashing and everything. So, wild. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the streets of DC, you know, people honking.
This is a live podcast. We don't edit stuff out. We're here. We're live.
Oh, no. This is raw.
Exactly.
You, everything you hear is raw. I'm not thinking about anything I say.
Just all flutters out of the brain. We love to see it.
As it comes, it just it's like word vomit. You know, my brain's just going. And if I screw up, -1 on the dash sheet. Who gives a fuck?
At least if people can say that we suck, but the thing they can't say is that we're not authentic. So who's the real winner here?
Yeah, like that 1 minute, you know, we took it away and you're never going to hear it. You know, maybe we might just throw it in at the end. Who knows?
Honestly, that'd be kind of funny. So we'll see. But yeah, back on track here. It's just like the other things in the back burner. Ilya Sorokin needs a deal. Anthony Beauvillier needs a deal. There's a lot of chitter chatter on Twitter that Anthony Beauvillier should be included or Josh Bailey in a trade for Vladimir Tarasenko, which has caused quite the stir, of course, on my Twitter account.
Do it. Do it.
No.
Do it.
I would honestly be so upset. It's not even funny. Everybody, all the Josh Bailey haters of 2010 are back on my Twitter account, like just saying the dumbest stuff. So that's a shame. They're all like, ooh, it's just ridiculous. Tarasenko had 2 shoulder surgeries. They're not trading anything. So for that, but we'll see. But Pavilion needs a contract, Sorokin needs a contract, probably come in at like 3.5 each. That seems fair enough to me. So we can just wait and see on those. But the other two things were, the rumors have it that Kyle Palmieri is coming back on a deal. It seems pretty confirmed that he's still on the market at this point and didn't go to Boston or back to New Jersey or anything. So
I'd be super surprised if like he announces his new contract and it's with a different team. Like I'd be very surprised at this point.
He's on the market for this long. It seems to be the whole big speculation. That was the speculation on day one from Elliot Freeman. Like, oh, seems like Palmieri and the Islanders are close, and then just nothing else came out about it. So it's classic Lou. So I'm assuming he'll be like four or five years by $4-5 million. So we'll see what the $20 million to $25 million range comes in. And then it seems like Casey Zekas is kind of mimicking kind of a Barclay Goudreau vibe, getting 6 years at $2.5 million is the rumor, which honestly is way too much term. Like, it's very just reminiscent of Goudreau. Way too much term, but it's better money, especially for a center, giving him 2.5. I think it just helped that he's been here all of his career. He wants to be here. He wasn't like a free agent that he used to trade and kind of convinced to stay here. So if that's the deal, I mean, 2.5 versus Zekas, where he could have got 4, 4.5 on the market, I mean, we'll take that all day, any day of the week.
Yeah, I saw rumors he was looking for 5 at some point.
Yeah,
so
from Seattle. Seattle for 5. Be like, hey, if you want to pick me and get me here, you need to give me $5 million. Which would be a massive overpayment.
Chase the bag, bro.
Yeah, exactly. If he got $5 million from Seattle and left, it would have sucked. But like, you can't be mad about that. But hey, man, if he comes in at 2.5, that's some great value for 3-4 years. And then maybe the last couple years, he kind of falls out a little bit. Maybe gets hurt. Maybe his body and his hitting catches up to him. But we'll take that for now, and we'll just wait for official confirmation, which I don't think we're going to get anytime soon, to be honest. So we'll see what happens on that front. I think everything's kind of being held up by Adam Pellick's big arbitration case potentially brewing, and just seeing how much money they have left after that, because Wu is a very savvy guy. He doesn't let anything slip. This has honestly been unbelievable. The fact that he doesn't let anything slip, how is that even possible in today's age? Like, the whole damn Seattle Kraken roster got leaked, and we don't know who the Islanders have signed and for what. That's crazy. But good on Lou for that one. I mean, shouts out to him. Oh, there are the police again. Love to see it. I hope this comes across in the podcast, but we'll see. But other than that, we can do a quick dive into – actually, let's go over these three really quick. Tony DeAngelo signed with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Hurricanes are the new Rangers South.
Yep,
Brendan because Smith. They are only, fun fact, the Carolina Hurricanes are only one player away from having the Derek Stepan DeAngelo trade all on their team. They are one Elias Anderson away.
Anderson, yeah, there you go.
They have Tony DeAngelo, Derek Stepan, and Antti Raanta just signed. Three out of the four pieces.
That's kind of sick. Dude. What a PR to say. I mean, Carolina was always very outspoken about hockey is for everyone, and I don't want to get into the political nature of this stuff, but the fact that you're signing Tony DeAngelo, who is like, think of what you want of him, and then you're signing,
He's not a nice guy.
Yeah, I don't want to get into any of his opinions because I'm not one to judge opinions, but, and then you sign Jake Vernon, who's under investigation for sexual assault. I mean, it's just very weirdly, like, bad PR, bad moves, not even for good players either. It's not like you're giving up, like, this money and this exposure for, like, Evander Kane, who can pot you 30. Like, you're signing Tony DeAngelo and Jake Vernon. But at least they signed Brendan Smith. That's something to root for you, I guess, even though he's in
Big Carolina. Brendan Smith guy. Yeah. I mean, his best days are behind him. If he was going to be on the Rangers, it would be as a seventh defenseman, which I would have been fine with. I you know, if he was still on this team, I'd be very okay with that. But, yeah, he signs with Carolina. DeAngelo signs with Carolina. They get Stepan. They got Raanta now. So, Carolina is weird to me because it's like they were – a very good team the last couple of years, but like they took a major step back this offseason.
I think they're going to take a big. I think they'll still make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're still a playoff team, but like they definitely. I think took a much bigger step back than I think people were expecting them to take. I mean, it's like you've had goaltending troubles. You trade your goaltender away. You lose Dougie Hamilton. You bring in Brendan Smith. Tony DeAngelo just can't play defense. Like, he brings you a lot of offense, but he's not great on defense. Derek Stepan's best. Yeah, it's like Derek Stepan's best days are behind him. It's just also, made a lot of
Injury prone goalies too. Like, say like Anderson gets hurt again. He was out most of this year. Raanta's injury prone. Who are you putting in goal?
Me.
Yeah, honestly, put David Ayers in goal, the Zamboni driver, but. I would honestly love if Carolina missed playoffs. I hold no love for Carolina, so we can see what happens there. But good for Brendan Smith to get a contract. Good for Josh Hosang getting a PTO with the Toronto Maple Leafs, finally getting a shot. I don't think he sticks because clearly everyone likes to think that this is the Islanders' fault with what happened with Josh Hosang, but I think it partially is. I don't think there's any denying that. They gave him a bad situation. However, he was basically told to get off of two SHL teams, and then he couldn't stick with the Sound Tigers or the Blues AHL team. So is it really all on the Islanders, or is it a Josh Hosang problem? We'll see what happens. Don't think he's going to break the Maple Leafs roster, but maybe he'll get a nice fresh start in the AHL and work his way up because the guy's insanely skilled. So I'm just happy to see him get another opportunity because he clearly was never going to get one here. So we'll see what happens there.
Also, just to note, with the Tony DeAngelo stuff, I don't know if we ever said it on the podcast, but we said this just via like text and stuff. You were very heavy in, I think we were both pretty heavy in Tony DeAngelo.
I was so
not
wrong.
Playing here and not playing in the NHL. And I was like, at first I was like, yeah, he's probably not going to play again. Then I thought about it and I was like, I don't know. Let's, he might get another chance. And here we go. He's got another chance. Oh, so
I was major wrong. Every time you brought that up, I was like, no, like, shut up. Like, he's not going to play again.
Yeah. I was like, let's, I'm like, the NHL is pretty stupid. So he might get another chance, man.
The NHL is very stupid. So good for him. Thank you, Tony, for all the memories, including getting absolutely dangled by Matt Barzal on opening night. So good on him. But, Do you want to move into the free agent signings or the Jack? I feel like the Jack Eichel stuff.
Whatever you want to go into. We can go into, because we don't need to talk about any of the free agency signings. Nah. We could just start rattling them off in case no one was paying attention. The Jack Eichel stuff, I have some thoughts and opinions on.
All right, so let me read the statement. It came out on July 30th, so that was this past week. Came out on this past Friday at 9:54
p.m. We should touch on the Fleury stuff too.
Yeah, for sure. So this came out 9:45 p.m. So his two agents, who, let me see if I can find their names, Peter Fish and Peter Donatelli, they released a statement saying, it's a bit of a long one, so this will take like a minute to read, but this process is not working. As previously stated, we fully anticipated a trade by the start of the NHL free agency period. After the agreed upon and prescribed period for conservative rehabilitation lapsed in early June 2021, it was determined by the Sabres medical staff that a surgical procedure was required. The recommendation by Jack's independent neurosurgeon, other spine specialist consultant, and the surgery Jack feels most comfortable in having in order to correct a herniated disc in his neck is to proceed with an artificial disc replacement surgery. A further point to our concern is that our camp was initially under the impression that the Sabre specialist was in agreement with the artificial disc replacement surgery until that was no longer the case. What is being left out of the discussion is that Jack would like to be able to play in the NHL for the start of the season, pending medical clearance, if he were allowed to have the surgery he desires, even as of this date. Repeated requests have been made to the Sabres since early June to no avail. This process is stopping Jack from playing in the NHL, and it is not working. End of statement. Yeesh.
Oh, Buffalo.
I think they were definitely trying to go out of their way and say, like, I think this was a pressure tactic in terms of Kevin Adams be like, hey, let's move this process along. And I honestly think it backfired because I think Kevin Adams said, no, like, screw you. Like, I'll take my own damn time. But I think it is certainly indicative of the situation at hand and how disconnected the Sabres and Jack Eichel's camp are in this situation.
Yeah. I don't know really how to like go like, so I don't think that Eichel and his team hold as many cards as they think they hold.
But I also
don't think that Kevin Adams and the Sabres hold as many cards as they hold.
That's because also it's like true.
You don't have to trade Eichel. And if you don't, that's fine. But Eichel's like, okay, I don't have to play either, and you don't have to pay me. And I kind of brought it up texting you earlier. It's like he's already probably put some money in the bank already. If he's living in Buffalo, I mean, I imagine he's probably not living in Buffalo right now, but it's like, let's say he has to report somewhere and they're like, you got to stay in Buffalo. Okay. He can live very comfortably in Buffalo year three into his $80 million deal. You don't think
he's got plenty million, of money.
You don't think the $20 million he's already put in his bank account is going to last? It's like, you got another thing coming, bud. So I just think they're saying, we know what's best for you. This is the surgery that's going to fix your problems and everything. And I think he's just like – and I think him and his camp are like, no, we've spoken to other doctors as well, and we think that this surgery is going to be best for me because it's going to allow me to be ready, whereas the fusion surgery is going to – sideline me for much longer and everything, and it's a much different recovery and everything. And I just think both sides are not seeing eye to eye right now.
I don't think both sides are necessarily wrong.
They're not.
Which is the weird thing, because obviously the Sabres want to do it their own way, because if this artificial disc replacement surgery goes bad and it wasn't their recommendation, it's like, oh, like we just screwed ourselves over by listening to Jack Eichel. But then Jack Eichel's camp wants to do the best thing for his client so he's healthy and gets to play in the NHL. Like, obviously he wants to do, like, it's his job, it's his passion. It's like they're both being dumb, but they're also both right, which is really a weird situation.
And I also think the Sabres are, and the fans, Sabre fans are looking at it like, Jack doesn't know what's best for him. It's like, what? Like, how does that make sense? You're saying that, like, that, and that's, I think, the one thing that, like, I don't agree with in this whole thing is, like, everyone's just assuming that Jack doesn't know what's best for him. And like the team knows what's best for you. You have to listen to the team. They're the ones that should, if they tell you to get their surgery, you do it. And if he's saying, well, I've spoken to three separate doctors and they all told me I should do this. I kind of am leaning towards this. It's like, it's, I think at the end of the day, it's a pride thing for Buffalo. I think they, you know, don't want to, like you said, have him do the surgery and then, you know, it backfires on them and he gets even more hurt and it's like potentially can never even play again. But I also saw a tweet today that just said, like, if you want Jack to play, just let him get the surgery he wants to play and he'll play. It's like he's contractually obligated to play there. So if you let him get the surgery he wants, he has to show up to camp. He has to play at some point once he's cleared to play. So, or if you just want to say, you know what, like, we're sick of the headache, we're just going to get rid of him, let him get the surgery he wants and just – and you're going to maximize the trade value when you have a healthy Jack Eichel. When you have a question mark Jack Eichel like they do right now and your relationship is as bad as it is right now, his value is tanking. It's Buffalo is tanking his value by letting this go on. And we said this from the start of the Eichel trade rumors, that the longer they let this go on, the worse it gets for Buffalo and the worse the package that goes back to Buffalo is. And at this point, it's like a lot of people joke, like, oh, Libor Hayek for Jack Eichel straight up. Maybe we'll throw in a fourth because we like you guys. It's like, obviously he's not, that's never, ever going to happen. But it, like at this point, it's like,
it you're speaks just, to what's you, going on. I think
you're not going to get the package you think you're going to get from him. It's like everyone else that was in on Eichel has moved on for the most part, or it seems like they've moved on. It's like, The Minnesota has a ton of issues with Kaprizov and bringing him back right now.
They had some cap problems.
The Kings moved on. They brought in Deneau and everything. It's like
seems like Anaheim Boston's, is probably the way to go at this point.
Yeah, like Anaheim is probably your only suitor, but it's like they don't want to move on what you're asking for. Same with the Rangers. Boston doesn't have the money. Vegas doesn't have the money. It's like there's not many people out there that are willing, and the Sabres are like, well, we don't want to trade him to the Rangers because they're in the East. We don't want to play him as much as we would have to. So it's like, and I get that. That makes a ton of sense. Like, but Anaheim, it just seems like Anaheim's like, no, we're not giving up Zegras. We're not, you know, you guys are asking for way too much. And that seems like it's also Buffalo's issue, is like they're not budging at all from what they've asked teams to trade to them. They're like, we want these guys. It.
Not gonna lie,
I get it. Like, they want to get the fucking value that Jack Eichel is gonna get them, and I respect that. I mean, like, get what you can because you're losing a major piece of your franchise.
He's a top 10, top 15 player in the league when he's healthy.
Absolutely,
I'd say top 10
for sure. When Jack Eichel's healthy, he's one of the best players there. I think he's in the 300 in the 300 something games he's played. He's over a point per game in his career so far. So it's like you're giving up a point per game player. You want a big return back, but the whole neck surgery is kind of like the caveat to all of this, where it's like, if it was a healthy Jack Eichel and he was just like, I fucking hate the city of Buffalo, then yeah, you probably get teams to be like, all right, fine, whatever. We'll give away a prospect. We'll give away the top prospects we have for Jack Eichel. But you're trading away a guy who's not going to be able to start game one. And you question how much longer. It's kind of like a ticking time bomb. If, you know, he's getting hit all the time. It's like, when is he going to retire? Like, when is he done? Because now we're on the hook for all this money and all these years. And if I'm only getting 2 years out of Jack Eichel, I lose that trade.
Neck injuries are very tough. I mean, there was, I think, a doctor on Elliot Friedman's and Jeff Merrick's 31 Thoughts podcast that I mentioned something. I don't know if it was the fusion
they said that
or the
was
replacement.
The doctor
was like,
Eichel went to saw. Yeah, it was like a doctor out of Colorado. Like, he saw him.
So it had to be the Sabres option, I would assume, that he was talking about, that said, like, some NFL guys get this, and then they, after 3 years, they have to retire because they're just not feasible anymore, which is crazy. And it's just, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting road, but it's just such a mess. I mean,
and I think with, like, that point, too, though, is, like, the NHL is an extremely physical game. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it is a very, like, but compared
different
to like
from
the
NFL,
is like
the linemen.
They're almost murdering each other. Like, at least with the NHL, it's like it's becoming more skill based and not like I just need to hit people based.
Yeah, how many big hits does Eichel take a year? Probably like an 82 game season on that pace, probably like 15 big hits. Like, you get bumped around, but like nothing like a lineman. Like
the bumping
takes
around stuff is not what would scare me. It's like, yeah, like a big one that is coming to mind right now is like, I think it happened this season, the Trouba on Pajot hit. Mm-hmm. Like, or that's like a big hit.
Martin on Trouba or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, those are big hits.
Yeah. You can't think of that many because there's not that many anymore. They pop up now and again, but like an elusive guy like Eichel, like how many is he going to take compared to a linebacker in the NFL who's going up against a 300-pound guy every single play, every single game for 16 times a year? So it's just what a mess. I mean, it's got to be resolved soon, and I'm kind of all for the chaos if it gets to training camp and Eichel doesn't report. I don't know what would happen. It might be a breach of contract. But we'll see. Just like how getting the surgery that he wants is a breach of contract because the team physician has the last say. I mean, there's so many semantics, but I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if I could have said, nope, I'm just not showing up?
It's kind of like the same situation with the Spurs right now with Harry Kane. Little EPL talk now. Like, he hasn't shown up for the last like 2 days of like training and stuff. And a lot of people are just like, you know, this is disrespectful and stuff. And he's not hurt. He just doesn't want to play for Tottenham anymore. So,
yeah,
it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, he just wants to leave, but the team is like, no, like, you're still in their contract. You need to complete your contract.
Fair enough.
And I think the same thing would say, like, I don't really know what we go into. Yeah, sure. I was just like, I'm not playing this year. Like, it's kind of also reminds me like the Le'Veon Bell thing where it was like,
yeah,
he just didn't want to play. So he's like, all right, I'll sit out. I don't give a shit.
This kind of reminds me of, I don't know if anybody browses Reddit here. I know you have read it. I have read it. It's like there's this forum called Am I the Asshole? And there's a verdict out there that says everyone sucks here. And that's kind of what I'm getting out of this whole vibe. It's kind of everyone sucks here. I mean, I feel bad for Eichel. Don't get me wrong. He obviously got a bad rap, bad hit. It was a dirty cross check by Casey Zizekas, ironically, that has kind of derailed this whole situation. But I obviously know he wants to play. But like the way everybody's handling this hasn't been great.
No, I think
on all sides,
it's just been ugly on all sides. And I think at this point, everyone's just kind of exhausted with the whole situation and just wants it to end. I think everyone wants to see Eichel play again. I don't think like they want to see him on the sidelines again.
The NHL probably wants it to end.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just bad all around. And you know what else is pretty bad all around?
What?
The Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh my God. Yeah,
Marc-Andre Fleury gets traded for nothing. What initially was nothing. They just traded him away.
Still is nothing.
They got an AHL guy.
Listen, if Michael Hakkarainen is listening to this podcast, which I'm sure he is, he's a loyal follower. Just kidding. they got nothing, and I mean it was unbelievable. The fact that this guy won the Vezina, I don't think that's the part that they were obviously trying to shed salary. Fair enough. But to not inform the guy and he finds out on Twitter.
That's the biggest piece is that, like, yeah, he found out via Twitter.
He's your franchise icon. And then it comes out a couple days later. Kelly McCrimmon is talking about the Ryan Reeves trade. There, that's Vegas' GM, Kelly McCrimmon. And he goes, yeah, we had multiple conversations with Ryan over the last few days about his future. Are you kidding me? Like, are you actually kidding me? I don't know if you have anything to add about it, but it's just nuts what they did to Fleury. And I feel so bad for the guy. But I'm happy he's playing this year in Chicago.
It just made the Knights look really shitty.
Players won't forget. They won't forget.
Yeah, like I you drafted the guy first overall in your expansion draft year, like when you had it, like he was your guy.
Embraced the city.
And yeah, just the way you went about. Yeah, like he embraced the city. He like pretty much like he said, like, I want to retire here. Everyone kind of knows like this is his last hurrah. Like, he's not going to sign another contract after this, I don't think. And then it was up in the air about just like whether what he was going to do, because the report initially was that he didn't find out he got traded from anyone. He found out via Twitter, and he was like, everyone was just kind of like, we don't even know if he's going to play in Chicago. Like, they traded for him, but there's a good chance he just is like, I'm not playing. Like, I'm done. Like,
that would have sucked as a way to end his career, but I'm happy that he's going for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting because I don't think Chicago's in a place where they can make a run or even like make the playoffs. I mean, maybe they can make the playoffs this year.
Playoffs now. It depends how Seth Jones goes. I mean, they got Jones, Johnson, Fleury, obviously. So, it'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, I think they'll be a middle of the road team potentially, but I have to agree. Like it's just the way they went about it, not great.
I saw when Darcy Kemper got traded from the Arizona Coyotes to the Colorado Avalanche, she was quoted saying like, oh, well, the good news is like I found out from my team. Like that's how fast it happened. Like 3 days later, teams are already and players are already saying like, oh, like they're poking fun at it, but like these players won't forget. Vegas is operating very businesslike, and these players all of a sudden are going to be like, hey, like I don't want to – I'll sign there because I want to win, but like it's not exactly a place you want to like – these guys have kids. They have families. They don't want to be traded out of the blue for nothing like Fleury is, and he's got to find new schools for his kids and relocate his wife and whatever. Like these players won't forget about stability and what it means. So definitely just a bad situation. What's your cousin think about?
He was so I broke the news on accident to him because I forgot there's a 3 hour time difference.
Yeah, it was early in the morning.
It was 8:45 when I texted him because the trade went in at like 11:30. I texted him at like 11:45 Eastern. So I was like, holy shit, dude, sorry. He was like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, you traded Fleury. He goes, for what? I'm like, nothing. And he's like, hold on. And he just and then like 5 minutes went by. He just texts me, god damn it, I hate this team.
It's just and it's a tough look. Just
It's bad.
I'm glad he's not retiring though. That would have been
me too.
There's such a terrible way to go out. I'm surprised.
Absolutely.
I wonder. Maybe he'll find his way back to Pittsburgh. Who knows? So I know. I was talking about that with my. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that would be very interesting, and I'd be very surprised by that.
Yeah, I was talking about it with like my parents or my dad or my mom, whoever. I forget who I was talking about it with, but like, because my mom is a huge Marc-Andre Fleury fan, and like, we were like, oh, why didn't Pittsburgh go after him? I was like, damn, Pittsburgh's really rolling with Tristan Jarry again. I was like, that's very weird, but hey, to each their own. They have Casey DeSmith too, but like, that's not very good, and I'm fine with that.
But yeah, he's ass.
Yeah, we'll see if Fleury goes back, but yeah, I mean, that's we'll see what happens. Free agency is basically come and gone. I mean, some big contracts went out. I'm not going to go over. I mean, this is a Ranger Islander podcast. I'll just pick up some of the very quick names that made over $5 million. Thank you to Cap Friendly for this. I guess we'll pick the ones that directly affect the Islanders and Rangers. Dougie Hamilton makes $9 million over 7 years with the New Jersey Devils. Crazy.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. Good signing by them, but they still stink.
It's a lot of dough. They also gave Jonathan Bernier $4.2 million. Good luck with that one. Philip Deneau goes to the Los Angeles Kings, chooses them over the New York Rangers.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere you shared it with me or I shared it with you that I think the Rangers were heavy in on him.
Yeah, it seems like it came down to those two.
Just because of like the Eichel stuff, and I think the Kings offered him either more term or more years or both.
It's a lot of money for Deneau, for a guy who's not a prolific scorer. But
like his stats, his underlying stats are pretty good. But
very good defensively.
A lot of money.
Yeah, 5.5 over 6. That's a lot. Gabe Landeskog gets 7x8 in Colorado. The dream unfortunately died.
At the 11th hour,
they signed him to it. It was like 21 minutes before the deadline to give the 8-year deal, and they got him. So good for you, Gabe. He clearly enjoyed Colorado. So good for him.
It also would have been weird if they let their captain walk like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That would have not been great. Like, just not a good look overall. I don't know why this is showing signings from last year, but that's okay. Who else signed? Ovechkin got a nice 9.5 times 5.
That was insane, that contract. I mean, that is a he wants to break the goal scoring record. That's cool.
He needs to average 33 over the next five.
Guy in his mid 30s, unless he's pumping the Russian gas every night, it's like, hey, you're gonna hate that deal after I think 2-3 years.
He looks good. I Ovi's a weird case, but I mean, hey man, I'm not gonna doubt Ovi in anything. I think at this point, I think that'd be like
I will bootlicker.
Let's see who else signed. The weirdest one, I think. When this doesn't really. Well, I'll do this one, then I'll go over my last 2 points super quick. Philip Grubauer is on the Seattle Kraken now. That's a weird one.
That contract got denied by the NHL too.
I think it's just annoying. They have
to restructure it.
Yeah, I think they resent it, and I think it's approved now. But the most annoying part was that caused Seattle, number one, feel so bad for Chris Drager. He goes to Seattle to be number one, and then they sign Philip Grubauer. That sucks. Number two. Tough. That caused the Kraken to trade Vitek Vanacek, who's a very good goalie, back to the Capitals. So that sucks as well. So a little bit of a domino effect there. And then kind of just the last point, At least I have. I don't know if you have any other players, but Seth Jones gets paid 9.5. Zach Werenski gets paid at, oh my God, 9.58, which is just absolutely ridiculous for Zach Werenski, but whatever. So Adam Fox looking like a big ticket, probably takes a hometown discount, like you mentioned. So maybe comes in at like 8 to 9, but who knows what happens in the future. That would
be beautiful. If he can come in at like 8.5. I texted you this the other day. I was like, if they can get him anywhere between like 8.5 and 10, the most, I'd be very okay with that. I think he's looking at it, you know, I think for him, his contemporaries, Heskinen and Makar, both make 9. I think the Rangers probably look at the Nurse contract and the Jones contract and the Werenski contract, and they're like, you're better than these guys, and they're getting overpaid. And if you want to be on this team and win with this team, with the core that we have, we got to pay them too. Can you take a hometown discount? We'll give you 9. We'll give you 9.5. Like, we call it a deal there. I think he does that. If they could do that, it just depends on the years at that point. But you know, luckily they don't have to think about, you know, the Lafreniere contract for
a year, couple or two. Years.
Kako next year, I think they'll just bridge him.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be – unless he pops off this year, but I don't think it's going to be a big payday. It's going to be decent, but nothing spectacular. Like,
I think he's probably – you know, I think he's going to have a big season this year, I think. But I don't see them giving him a huge contract. I think maybe a 3-year bridge deal, just to kind like of be like, hey, we need to figure out what we're doing with money right now. And who's getting it and where's it going, especially with if Eichel is going to become a reality. It's like I mentioned before, like you kind of have to say goodbye to Mika at that point, which I'm fine with, you know, if it brings in Eichel, you know. So that was like the crazy contract. I think they are probably going to have to move one of Trouba or Kreider, and I think they'd move Kreider first at this point, with all the winger depth they have, especially if Trouba is named captain. I don't think they're going to move their captain twice.
Shout out Ryan Callahan.
Oh, 3 times then. Who is this? Trade McDonough too.
Oh, both to Tampa Bay. Hey, Trouba to Tampa Bay. Write it down now.
Trouba gets the C. He's going to Tampa. Book it.
Yeah, facts. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But approaching 1:15 almost, so want to do some trivia?
Yes, sir. All right. I'm just going to read them.
Facts.
Trivia. Okay. What number did Gump Worsley wear? Come on. We all know Gump.
10.
1.
That wasn't a bad guess.
No, it was not.
I feel like anybody that played before 1950 wore like below 20.
If your nickname is Gump, you definitely were born in like the 1930s. This is a fact for tomorrow. The Rangers had three winning streaks of 6 or more games during the 1970-71 season. It's pretty cool.
Good for them.
And then I'll just read one more fact. In the 1971-72 season, Jean Rattel led the Rangers with 109 points in 63 games. God damn.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, there was like no teams back then, but 109 points in 63 games is not something to – I mean, also, yeah, sure. You were playing against guys bagging groceries midday.
I was going to make a plumber joke.
Yeah, you know, guys, you know, the goaltenders were coming out of mines at 4 o'clock, you know, mining charcoal.
I was going to say coal miner 4, NHL at 7. Oh, yeah. God.
They still got dirt and you know, trash on their face.
Oh, God. They're probably all pissed off at us for saying that.
I don't care.
Never listen. But yeah, the only one I got is The Athletic posted an article/vote on who is the worst Islanders free agent signing of all time. And guess who won? I'll give you a hint. It's recent.
Worst signing in Islanders free agency. Now I got to think about who they didn't sign Panarin.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that one.
Look, that's all I have right now. You have to let me.
Fair enough.
Why am I? I'm trying to think.
You're gonna be mad at yourself.
How long ago did they sign this player?
They signed him in 2016, maybe 2017.
Leo Komarov?
Close. That was the same. I think it was the same year. Maybe it was after. Andrew Ladd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 5.5. Thank you, Garth. The other one was just a trivia. Josh Bailey passed. He got up to third all-time in games played this season. So long live Josh Bailey. He's not going to St. Louis. I will not be a fan anymore if he's in St. Louis. So good for Josh. But that wraps it up for me.
I'm also just saying we're very big on somehow mushing our teams. So
that's facts.
I would not be surprised by the time this episode drops, the Tarasenko trade goes through and Bailey and Bailey are both on it.
We're recording this on Tuesday. We wait on Wednesday, drop it on Thursday. Something's going to happen tomorrow. You know how it goes.
Oh, my God. If that trade happens and Bailey or Pavillier are one or both of the pieces in that trade, we might have to do an emergency edition.
I think we would have
already
to.
Long podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It'd be ridiculous. But, yeah, I think we've gone for long enough. But I think we covered. It was a good podcast. Covered a lot. Chris, you want to take away with the outro, as you usually do? Sure.
All right, here we go, everyone. If you're still here, thank you. Strap I appreciate in. It. Yeah, strap in. All right, so make sure you give the podcast a 5-star rating wherever you listen to it. Make sure you leave a nice review. That really helps us improve the podcast. Spread the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Podcasts spread word of mouth. They're not like apps or Instagram where there's an algorithm and, you know, people can it pops up on their For You page or whatever. You really got to tell people to listen to the podcast. So if you are a really big fan of the podcast and you think other people might enjoy it, tell them to give it a listen. You know, we'll probably do a Q&A soon. So if they have questions,
yeah,
they
want to hear,
you know, we'll probably do a mailbag episode. So stay tuned for that.
Maybe
so,
next yeah, make week. Sure, who knows?
Facts.
Not much going sure, on.
Yeah, so tell people to listen to the show. Make sure you're leaving a 5-star rating. Make sure you're leaving a nice review. Make sure you subscribe to wherever you're listening to your podcast, whether it's on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. If you listen to it on the Anchor app, make sure you're subscribed to the show. And as always, if you want to play a little free-to-play gambling or free-to-play sports betting, Vigit, V-I-G-I-T. Download it in the Google Play or Apple App Store. Use our promo code FBTB and you get 1,000 coins for free. Big update is coming soon. They'll have it before the NFL season kicks off and the NHL season kicks off in October. So you're gonna want to make sure you are using our promo code so you get 1,000 free coins. That's Vigit, V-I-G-I-T. Promo code FBTB when you sign up. 1,000 coins for free. And yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. Kevin, you got anything else?
All good. Great as always.
Great as always. Can't wait for the Tarasenko trade to go through. I look forward to listening to this episode when it drops, as does everyone else. And
oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. Sorry it was a long episode. Not sorry. I'm not apologizing
nope,
for anything.
Not at all.
This was content, people. This is what happens when we don't record for over a week.
It happens. We love to see it.
All right. That's it for me. That's it for Kevin. We'll be back next week, and hopefully there's a lot to talk about. Probably won't be, but who will see? Yeah. All right. Peace.